global beer expert and home brewing hero Randy Mosier presents really the ultimate all-inclusive guide to the craft for beginners and advanced brewers alike. His new book is Mastering Homebrew, the Complete Guide to Brewing Delicious Beer. It features complete instructions, hundreds of graphics and illustrations showing the process and technique, as well as master recipes comprising a vast range of alternatives for customization of your beer. Randy Mosier has been at the forefront of creativity in brewing for almost three decades. His Brewer's Companion offers solid technical information and a practical system for recipe formulation. Again, the new book is Mastering Homebrew, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Randy Mosier back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Great to be here.
What brought you to look at this idea of mastering the craft of homebrewing?
Well, I just felt that there was a need in out there for a homebrewing book that was a start-to-finish book that concentrated on the artistic aspect of brewing in addition to giving you enough technical skills to be able to control that. A lot of the books are very technical, and that technical information is extremely important, but it's not everything because the process basically is art, because we're brewing beer, we're drinking it, it's a sensory thing, we're dealing with people's psychology, we're trying to influence people in various ways with it, and engineering can only take you so far in that area. So I to emphasize it's a left brain and right brain activity, so that's what this book is all about.
Give us a thumbnail sketch of how this, for want of a better term, hobby, has transformed over the last 3 to 4 decades.
Well, it was legalized in 1976 by Jimmy Carter. It had been an oversight as far as the regulations after Prohibition. And that sort of opened the floodgates for people to open shops and form clubs and come out in the open a little bit more. And really, the industry's really grown dramatically. It was homebrewing that really created craft brewing, because almost every craft brewery that we have out there from Sierra Nevada all on down was started with the idea of, hey, dude, this beer's really good. You should, like, sell it, you know. And so people just started transforming homebrewing into little businesses, and at the same time, homebrewing started growing and to the point it would support a lot of businesses around it to create companies to supply malt and yeast and hops and information, people like me to write books. And so really the thing has grown. I think they estimate there's somewhere between 4 and 6 million homebrewers in the United States at this moment.
Right. I consider myself a beer head. I have many, many friends who are homebrewers. And this is the one thing I can't get over, that a stumbling block that I personally can't get over, which is I just cannot muster the will to do this, or I guess the want to homebrew, when there is so much great beer out there that I can just go in and buy. Is that a common stumbling block?
Well, I think for a lot of people, well, when I started brewing, if we wanted to taste Belgian beer, we had to brew it ourselves,
right?
Because there was almost nothing on the market.
Right.
But I think people are really not in it for just to create a supply line for themselves. There's certainly a lot of great commercial beer out there, and homebrewers are one of the biggest consumers of it. But I think we're in an era now, they have this thing they call the maker movement, right? So people are making all kinds of things that they could probably go out and buy.
Sure.
But there's an enormous satisfaction in crafting something with your own hands, of making beers that suit yourself and suit your friends and brew for occasions. Like, one of the favorite things I do is brew for weddings. And, you know, I really love being able to customize a batch for something like that. But so it's not just to be able to have beer, it's to be able to create beer and express yourself and challenge yourself and to learn new things. And beer will take you a million places. You know, there's so much that you can learn about biochemistry and about technology and welding and history and art and society. It's almost endless where you can go with it. So I think that's a lot of the appeal to it.
One of the other things that I've always found interesting is because some of these people, the home brewers that come and they share their art with me and others, of course, and you try some just incredible things. And you're absolutely right. There's such a artisanal level to it. And it's great stuff. It really is. Also, you try some really bizarre things that I guess wouldn't normally happen where people come up to you and say, in perfectly polite conversation, oh, would you like to try a chocolate chip cookie dough beer? Or would you like to try a cayenne pepper beer? And you do, and they're pretty awful.
I still have a cicada beer in my cellar that I haven't quite worked up the courage to drink. You know, and I think that's the thing about homebrewing. I love the fact that people are willing to experiment and fail if need be. And I think for newer brewers who are off in that experimental area, there's a tendency to overdo it. I mean, I remember when I was learning to cook, I would put in way too much time and oregano and all those kind of spices because I wanted to make sure I tasted them. And then over the years, I learned to back off and learned to really, really know when I needed to add it and how much. And I think that's just part of the growth phase that everybody goes through. They want to jump out there. They want to get out on the edge. And it's just sort of a little bit natural to kind of maybe overdo it a little bit. But that's just part of the fun, actually.
Your book is beautiful, and it has so many wonderful graphs and pictures and charts and showing you different avenues to go on. For someone who, well, I guess this is a general question, not even for someone who's just starting out, but for you, what is the key to getting it right? What is the key that you have to have to be a successful home brewer?
As I said, I think being attentive to the left brain and the right brain,
yes,
to know enough of the technology, chemistry, biochemistry, to get it right, and also be fairly fastidious in your habits as far as cleaning and writing things down, what you do. But the other thing is to have that side that's artistic. So you want to always approach your next beer with the idea of what is this beer? And think about the concept of the beer first and the big idea behind the beer, and then all those different decisions that you have to make about what are you putting in it and how are you using it and what kind of techniques are you using and what type of yeast to ferment it with. All those decisions can be made off the big idea. And a lot of people have a tendency to sort of, oh, I want to make something that's vaguely pale and has some hops in it, and then they just start piling on ingredients. And you can make an okay beer that way, but to make a beer that really sings, it's really helpful to have that idea and then take it all the way through in every way you can.
Talk to me a little bit about the chemistry aspect of it, because that is such an important component. And if you do really want to get science geeky about it, you can, can't you?
Oh, yes. And I think for a lot of people like me who have a more of an art background, being able to play mad scientist is really a big part of it. So, but I know a lot of people who come to it from computer software or other types of engineering fields, for them it's a great opportunity to play artist. So it draws people from both sides to the middle in a lot of ways. So you've got the chemistry of ingredients. Water is can be a little technical and certainly a little dull, but it's important to get that right because it can affect the flavor of your beer. It's very helpful to understand the chemistry of how malt flavors created, and it's basically the same chemistry that happens when you slice a piece of or put a piece of toast in the toaster, or when you saute onions or anything where you're actually doing some browning. That's malt flavor chemistry right there. Hops have chemistry that is created through plant metabolism, and so it shares a lot in common with citrus and herbs and spices and a lot of other things that are plant flavors that we find in cuisine and elsewhere. And then finally, yeast is its own little world, an incredibly complicated world, where those little yeast cells are trying to reproduce, they're trying to synthesize proteins, they've got to make energy, they've got to store food. And so learning a little bit about how they operate, what they like, the conditions that they operate best under, will really help you manage them, keep them happy, keep them in the condition where they'll produce really great beer for you. So those are the sort of big areas that you need to start looking into.
How do you determine what the alcohol level is in a beer that you've brewed?
Well, alcohol is more or less a result of how much fermentable material you put in at the beginning. Beer before it's fermented is something called wort,
right?
W-O-R-T. And wort is basically sugars that are created during the mashing process, where the starches inside of barley malt and other kinds of grains are converted into fermentable sugars. And the density, or how much dissolved material you have in that wort at the beginning of fermentation, is a sort of an upper limit for the amount of alcohol that you can create, because you can't make alcohol if you don't have starch to ferment. Now, different yeasts, different brewing techniques will make that wort more or less fermentable, so it's not an absolute ratio of fermentables to alcohol, but it's a sort of a general idea. So the more stuff you put in, the more malt you start with, the denser your wort, and the higher the alcohol you're probably going to get.
How do you know definitively? How do you test it?
There's a little device called a hydrometer, and it looks like a really weird thermometer with a big bulb on the end, a little weight, and you just drop that down into the liquid, and you take a measurement before you ferment the beer and write that down. And most of those homebrewer thermometers have a little scale on it marked potential alcohol. So you drop that thing in, and it floats to a certain level, and you can read the density in a couple of different brewer's measurements, but you can also look and see, okay, that gives me 7% potential alcohol. Now, you're not going to get 7% because there's some of that's going to be unfermentable.
Right.
So at the end of the brew, you take a reading again, and it might read 2.5% potential alcohol, and then you can subtract the one from the other, and you know you're going to end up with 5.5% or 4.5%.
Where's the most common place in all your years of experience and watching other people do it and you doing it too? Where can you really screw up? Like, where's the place where the most problems can lie?
Well, the only place you can really ruin your beer is with poor sanitation.
Yeah.
It's just not getting things cleaned, because you cannot sanitize dirt, as a famous home brewer once said.
Right.
So there are cleaning materials that come with every kit that's sort of part of the homebrew regime, where you need to make sure you've got things clean, and then once they're cleaned, then you need to use some kind of a solution, usually an acid type of sanitizer, to make sure that it's clean. You can miss your targets. You can make it too light, too dark, too hoppy, not hoppy enough, and those are all going to be fine beer. It may not be what you had in mind, but if you get an infection in there, that can unleash unholy hell in terms of what your beer flavor is. So that's the only area where you really have a chance to screw it up royally. And most people don't. If you just basically follow the instructions and use the cleaning chemicals correctly, you're going to be just fine.
How do you see people using the book?
Well, I see them, some people are going to use the book to just get started. The starter recipe in there, rather than some simplified pale ale, actually can produce 100 different beers depending upon the choice of ingredients that you use. So that we kind of walk them through the process of making some choices. But I think a lot of people who may have been brewing for a while, this will give them better knowledge of their ingredients and a better understanding of how to choose those ingredients to get the flavors they want, and also to be more comfortable with the recipe development process. So hopefully this will take a lot of people from using really only brewing from kits or other people's recipes to be able to decide in advance what kind of flavor do I want and figure out how to get those flavors in with their own choices rather than with a bunch of other people's recipes. Now, I do include recipes in there, but a lot of them are flexible recipes that have, you can make different choices and end up with stronger beers or weaker beers or some other variations. So, you know, I'm not anti-recipe, but I think if you really want to be a brewer, I mean, it's like being a band. Are you a cover band, or are you making your own music?
Right.
That's the difference. So I think that's where I want to kind of push people. There's a lot of international stuff in there, too. I've been lucky enough to be able to travel around homebrewing things. I'm actually going to Mexico tomorrow to judge some professional beer and homebrewed beer, and I'm looking forward to meeting some people down there on the scene. And so I've included a lot of international ideas and recipes and things from all over the world in the book, so I think that's an area that hasn't been discussed enough on the homebrewing scene here in the U.S. because it's just blowing up everywhere. It's really quite fantastic.
Randy Mosier is the author of the new book, Mastering Homebrew, The Complete Guide to Brewing Delicious Beer. It is published by Chronicle Books. Randy, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Mastering Homebrew. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.